The story of Ruth and Naomi lives on through the ages. Even through great tragedy, God's faithfulness shines through Ruth, who simply lives out her true human calling to love and serve her mother-in-law, Naomi. God's love and power transcend our status in this world, our circumstances, our tragedies, and our plans. Our reading today is from Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to take back from you, turn back from you. Where you will go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I'm going to invite you to be seated. And will you please join me in prayer? Gracious Lord God, we praise you and we thank you for this time to gather and to worship, this time to consider your word. And we ask that for the presence and power of your Holy Spirit within us to not only to teach us, but to transform us and to guide us into the way of your truth and the way of life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So Naomi and Ruth. I need to give you a little bit of background on this because, we look at a story like Naomi and Ruth that has lived on in so many ways. If you've done Bible studies at any time, you've probably done one on Ruth. Or you've heard about Ruth, you've heard about Naomi, you've heard about Boaz. Many of you know the story, but many of you don't. And fewer know kind of the background of what's going on. But it helps us understand the beauty and the depth of what is happening. It's only four short chapters. And in fact, if you were to go online and pick up a Bible app or a Bible like BibleGateway.com, you could listen to the entire book of Ruth in about 20 minutes, okay? How many of you have an extra 20 minutes from time to time driving from here to Kerrville or somewhere like that? You can listen to the whole thing. So, what we see in Ruth, this whole account, happens during what we call the time of the judges. And this was the time from when, remember Moses, the Lord uses Moses to lead the people out of slavery, okay, out into the wilderness, and they're there for 40 years. They come into the promised land. Joshua leads them at that time. But as they enter the promised land, they enter that time of the judges, and there's no king. And it's several hundred years that they're in that land, and they're conquering, and they're trying to get settled. They're trying to make their way. But what becomes very clear is that they pretty much forget the Lord. And they are going all sorts of different directions. In fact, the very last verse of Judges is this, from Judges 21:25. "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." Does that happen today? Yeah. I always love Ecclesiastes. "Nothing new under the sun. We think, oh, it's so terrible today. Well, it was maybe worse back then, or at least as bad. Everyone did well. So yeah, how does that work well typically if everyone does what's right in their own eyes? They just kind of make up the rules, make up what is right. If it's right for you, it's right. If it feels good, do it. I mean, generation after generation, there's different ways of saying it, but it's all the same thing. Now the judges, there were a number of judges that were raised up by God. People like Deborah, people like Gideon, right? Samuel was a judge. But even so, they would be faithful for a little while and then they would wander off. And this is the time, during this time period, that we have this amazing account of Ruth and Naomi and Boaz and this whole incredibly passionate, beautiful story. In other words, it is chaos. It's moral chaos. There's a chaos in faith. You wonder, is there anybody who's faithful? The people of Israel were not being faithful at that time. Not at all. They were worshiping all kinds of other gods. And what's this all about? So, we're going to pick it up in verse 16. And to understand what's going on, there had been a famine in the land of Israel. And so Naomi and her husband and their two sons, they were fairly poor, and they could not make a living off the land where they were in Bethlehem. And so they left. They went to the land of Moab, which wasn't all that far, maybe 60, 100 miles. And they lived there. And when they got there, you know, there's two young men, Naomi's sons. They got married to a couple of local girls. And one of them was Ruth. And they were from Moab. They were Moabites. And so they were kind of outsiders to the Israelites. But the Israelites, you know, Naomi and her husband and her two boys were foreigners there. So they got married. And Naomi's husband dies. And then, on top of it, the two sons die. And in those days, no Social Security, no welfare, nothing. No way, the way that you supported as you got older, the plan was you had kids and they would support you in your old age when you were too weak to work. That was how it worked. It's not all different from here, you know, especially back 100 years ago. And so there they are. Naomi's in this foreign land. And the two daughters-in-law who are local to that area, Naomi is realist. She says, you know what? If you come back with me, you're never going to get married to one of the local boys. They probably won't accept you. So you stay in the land where you are here in Moab and find somebody else to marry so you can establish your own families. And one of the daughters-in-law says, yeah, you're right. I'm staying. But Ruth comes back and she says this. Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. I want you to drill down on how incredibly focused and faithful this is. At the very beginning of Genesis 12, God calls to Abraham and Sarah and says, go to the land that I will show you. And you know what? Abraham says, all right, I'll go where you lead me. You're going to be my God. And what Ruth says, here, this is a foreign woman. And she says, I will do this. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Clearly, she is not doing what's right in her own eyes. She's actually doing what all of Israel had been called to do, to make the one true God the one true God, to follow where God wants them to go. And she out front says, I'm going to do this. Little knowing what was coming. Incredibly vulnerable for her to do this. But let's go on. Verse 19. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. We should know a little bit about Bethlehem. Who was born there? Say it out loud. Jesus. All right, spoiler alert. This is also the city of David, okay? And what we see is Bethlehem, Ruth, David. Oh, spoiler alert. Ruth is the great-grandmother of King David, okay? And we can draw a direct line all the way to Jesus. If you go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 to 16, you'll see the genealogy, and it lists Ruth and Boaz in that direct line all the way to King David and all the way to Jesus. Okay? So, they come to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women explained, can this be Naomi? And when it says stirred, it means the gossip mill was in full tilt. You know, she's come back, and she's come back with this woman. This young woman who doesn't belong here. I know that would never have happened in Fredericksburg 100 years ago, right? All right, never. All right, let's go on. And she says, can this be Naomi? And Naomi says, don't call me Naomi. The name Naomi means pleasant. She told them, call me Mara, which means bitter, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. This is a brokenhearted woman. She recognized, you know what's interesting? She's still pointing to God. She's saying, you know what? I don't understand this, but God does, and I know my life is bitter, and I know he has a hand in it, and I don't get it. You see it? But then it goes on, and this is still Naomi speaking. I went away full. I had my husband. I had two sons. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. You know, you wonder, one of the things with the scriptures, they're incredibly honest. God, this isn't God's inspired word, and it's God has said, you know, I want you to say this. I want you to say it out loud for all the generations to hear. King David later will write Psalm 13. And he says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Have any of you ever felt like that? Honest. Forthright. Here it is. The Lord is, you know, the Lord has done this. What's interesting is we're going to see that Naomi says, the Lord has brought me back empty. But what's the Lord going to do? If the Lord can bring you back empty, the Lord can fill you up, can he? So we're going to jump to chapter 2. Because one of the things that we see here is that when they come back, they are destitute. They are extremely poor. Here's this Naomi, and here's Ruth. They have no money, no prospects. And one of the ways we know this is that Ruth goes out to glean in the fields. And in those days, the law was, and most people did not keep this law, but if you were a farmer, and see the barley harvest, the famine was over, the barley harvest had come in. And the law was that you couldn't go to the very edge of your field. You needed to leave a stand of the grain there so that the poor could come and cut it for themselves so that they would have their bread. Okay, that was the law, and we see that Boaz is actually keeping this law, because Ruth finds this field, goes out and starts cutting, and among the sheaves starts cutting in the grain and picking this, and Boaz sees her and asks his men, so who is this? And they tell Boaz, this is Ruth, you know, and she came all the way back, you know, mother-in-law, the whole thing. And here's, Ruth is asked, why are you being nice to me? Because Boaz has said, look, it's, I want you to glean with my women servants. I want you to be there with the harvest, because out there among the poor, there's trouble. There's all kinds of abuse. There's all kinds of trouble. Don't go around those men. Come be around my women. And in fact, I'm going to let you harvest a little more than just the edges. See the kindness? And Ruth asks, why have you been so kind to me? And Boaz says, I've been told about what you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. Sounds just like Abraham and Sarah, doesn't it? Saying, you've been faithful. You've heeded the call of God, and you've come, and you've been faithful to your mother-in-law. You have done these things. And then he goes on and he says, may the Lord, in verse 12, may the Lord repay you for what you've done. May you be richly be rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. And this idea of the wings, we see it in the New Testament. We see it when Jesus is looking over Jerusalem, and he's just saying, and this is 1,000 years later, Jesus is standing over Jerusalem and saying this. This is the week of his crucifixion. And we pick it up in Matthew 23. This is Jesus saying, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Boaz has just said, you have taken refuge under the wings of the Lord. Come under his protection. See the beauty of that? And the Lord later, I don't know how many great, she's the great grandmother of Jesus. Okay. And yet here's this line of faithfulness. All right, so happy ending here. Happy ending, because what happens is Ruth and Boaz get married. They have a son, and there is extremely happy mother-in-law, okay, Naomi. And she realizes the Lord's been in it all the way, and the Lord has filled me. And we'll pick it up in verse 14 of chapter 4. The women said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer, one who has bought you, who has paid the price, who has cared for you. And it's interesting to see all this. All of this that has happened, remember, even in Bethlehem, everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. And notice that the faithfulness of Naomi, the faithfulness of Ruth. And remember, Naomi was always pointing to the Lord in this, even when it was bad. Notice that the women of Bethlehem say, praise be to the Lord. Praise be to the Lord. And then finally, verses 15 following. He's talking about the child here. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. I love it. And sons were everything in those days, and that's an incredible compliment. But then the last verses, then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. Grandma, go grandma. The women living there said, Naomi has a son. And they named him Obed, and he was the father of Jesse, the father of King David. And the faithfulness of God, the beauty of what God does, even in the midst of things that we don't understand, you notice at the very beginning, did the Lord tell Naomi, okay, I've got this plan, and this is how this is all going to work out, and it's all going to come out right in the end? No. In fact, throughout Scripture, we see a number of cases where people just say, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? And they die. And others where things like this happen. In fact, when it all comes together, we see the Lord Jesus. Nobody expected the Messiah to die. Jesus knew it, but nobody expected it. None of the apostles expected it. Peter didn't expect it. John didn't expect it. Matthew didn't expect it. And when Jesus dies, they thought, that's it. But what happens? They were empty, and then God filled them. And he fills us through the power of his love and through the resurrection power. Praise be to God. May we pray, please. Gracious God, we thank you, and we thank you for your grace, your power, for how you work in our lives. And we ask that you would give us faith enough to trust you through the most difficult of days, knowing that no matter what comes, we are all part of your kingdom work. Thank you so much for Naomi and for Ruth, for Boaz. And Lord, guide us, fill us with your Holy Spirit as we walk in these days of our lives. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.